Good evening, brethren. The sun has now set and the specified time has come to observe the Passover of our Lord. This service is a memorial of the death of Jesus Christ, of his scourging and subsequent crucifixion for the forgiveness of our sins. Our participation in this ceremony is an expression of our continuing faith in the efficacy of that sacrifice, and is done in solemnity and sobriety only after we have each seriously considered its vital importance in our eternal salvation. We will eat the bread and drink the wine after having washed each other's feet as a mark of humility and service, which follows the example that Jesus set for his disciples to follow. For those of you observing the Passover using a recording, I will be giving instruction regarding the stopping and starting of the tape recorder. Let's begin by looking at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1, if you'll turn there. Exodus, the 12th chapter, and verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his leg, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Eternal. The Old Testament was a type or forerunner, this Passover, of a much more significant fulfillment, that which we are here observing tonight. We are participating in the symbolic sacrifice of the life of Jesus Christ, which once and for all paid the penalty for the sins of all mankind. Our release is from spiritual bondage and liberation from death, the second or eternal death, with separation from God entailed. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the fulfillment of the symbolic representation of the Passover given to physical Israel. And we, as the spiritual counterpart, the Israel of God, fulfill the latter type of that representation. In his first letter to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul refers to that sacrifice of Christ, and we read it in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, he says, Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Paul there mentioning the physical and spiritual leaven which this festival entails. Verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Then in the Gospel of John, the first chapter and verse 29. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is that perfect sacrifice of the spiritual Passover. And to mark the change from physical to spiritual administration, Jesus Christ changed the symbolism to that of the unleavened bread and the wine, representing more specifically his own death. So we examine the detail now in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and we'll start to read in verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Dropping down to verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul gives further details for the observance in the new era of the church, again in his epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle of Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the eternal, that we should not be condemned with this world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. The crucial point is that we comprehend our personal need for this sacrifice and take this ceremony very much to heart. Again in the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter and verse 53. John chapter 6, starting in verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so on that very evening, Christ instituted the new customs and emblems which we today remember as a memorial, an annual reliving of that very event. So in the first of the three segments of the service, we turn to that of foot washing. Our tradition within the church is based on the scriptures found particularly in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, starting at the very beginning, verse 1. It says, Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, or as some translate it, during supper, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose from supper, and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Verse 6. Then came Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, you don't understand now, but you will know hereafter. And Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, If I wash you not, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, He that is washed needs not, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, You are not all clean. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, and said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And so, brethren, in fulfillment of our Lord's instruction, we now wash each other's feet. Please stop the tape and restart it when you have done that. We now come to the second element within the ceremony, that consideration of the unleavened bread. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, starting in the first verse. He says, Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, he has borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Continuing in Psalm 103, the 103rd Psalm, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Verse 3 of Psalm 103, "Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." And further in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter, the second chapter, starting in the 21st verse. 1 Peter 2, 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who of his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were as sheep gone astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Christ came in the flesh and willingly gave himself for our healing." And finally, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. Matthew 26 and the 26th verse. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Eat, this is my body.'" And so now we take the emblems. Firstly, the unleavened bread. And if you'll all just bow your heads, I'll ask God's blessing on the bread as a representation of the broken body of Christ. Eternal Heavenly Father, we are privileged indeed to come at this sacred hour to join with the saints around this whole world in observing and keeping this Passover faithfully as instructed in your word. We thank you for reintroducing the understanding and the significance of the ceremony to us through your faithful ministry. We ask you, Father, to first of all take this unleavened bread and sanctify it, bless it as a true representation to each of us of the physical and spiritual sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We realize, Father, as we recommit ourselves to you in this annual ceremony, that in doing so, we look to you specifically for healing, that we realize that Jesus Christ, who was so mercilessly beaten beyond description and beyond belief, doing so that we could have this priceless honor, that we could call upon you as you instructed when we are sick. And so, Father, we ask you to bless this bread, and through your Spirit to enable each one of us as we partake of it to thank you and to realize how great the sacrifice of your Son Jesus Christ was on our specific and our individual need. So, Father, we ask your blessing, and we do call upon you to sanctify this bread in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'll turn the tape off now and then restart when the ceremony is finished. Now, brethren, we come to the third and final element of the ceremony, that of the wine picturing the precious blood of our Savior Jesus Christ shed for us. So if you will turn to Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews the 9th chapter, and we'll start in verse 11. Hebrews 9 verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Then back into the Old Testament, Leviticus, the 17th chapter. Leviticus chapter 17. And notice verse 11. But it explains, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. And so we see the critical parallel with the wine representing the blood of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then just back to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 27. Matthew 26 verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of this, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so we now take the final emblem of wine to represent the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you'll again bow your heads, please. Eternal Heavenly Father, again we come before your great majesty to thank you that not only was Jesus Christ our Savior from physical sin, but also that through his blood he atoned for our sins, that which separates us from you and from eternal life. Thank you, Father, that he was willing to make that great sacrifice and for its efficacy. We want to ask you to now sanctify this wine that each of us will take, and through again your Spirit, you will allow our minds to meditate on the personal nature, on our individual need, and for the tremendous blessing that it represents to each and every one of us. So, Father, as we, together with your people around this whole world, keep this Passover, we ask you specifically now, Father, sanctify and bless this wine, so that we may effectively partake of it, and that it represents to each and every one of us that precious blood by which our whole future is transformed. So, Father, we thank you and ask your blessing by the authority of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'll just stop the tape now and turn it over, and then we'll resume after the ceremony. Again, in keeping with tradition, we'll conclude by reading excerpts from John chapter 13 through to chapter 17. Notice John 13 verse 17. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And there is, in that sense, a necessity to keep the things that we have this very evening in order to fully comprehend. Verse 18. I do not speak to you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomsoever I send, receives me. And he who receives me, receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And so the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Dropping down to verse 26, Jesus said, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped. And he dipped the bread and gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Verse 30, having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately." Verse 33, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to you, to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Then in chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, and how we can know the way. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him, and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient to us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Verse 19, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us, and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring you your remembrance to all things that I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you. For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in common with me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Then in chapter 15, Christ said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's own life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my words, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Chapter 16, verse 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you should be made to stumble. Not stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things will they do to you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time is come, you may remember that I told them to you. In verse 23, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name. I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly, and use no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things, and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And finally, in chapter 17, those precious words of Jesus Christ to his Father. Verse 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep, through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with you in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. For you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they whom you have given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. So, brethren, we will sing the concluding hymn, if you'll take your hymnals. Turn to page number 41. Thy loving kindness, Lord, and after this, we'll depart to our homes. 41, if you'll all rise, please.
In thy loving kindness, Lord, be merciful to me. Compassion, great love. Spirit is to God a sacrifice.